I'll be glad to. That was funny. It's closed.
Everyone.
Good morning, Jackie.
What a beautiful day it is today to be in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen, sister. Amen, amen, amen.
So we have some announcements.
Announcements.
Online prayer requests. If you are joining us online and you have a prayer request or a praise report, please send that to jenkinsprayer@gmail.com. If you can send that now, that way we can get it all ready for when it comes time in the service for Jason to address that. The bulletin board in the hallway outside the sanctuary, there are sign-up lists for one small thing, which are items that can be done, one small thing, one item at a time in the church. And also items to donate to the Jenkins Food Closet, which we keep some staples in there to help for families who are dealing with food insecurity. And this helps them if they come by the church, we can give them a sack of food to help them get through the week. Bible study. Continuing the study of Romans on Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. in the sanctuary, or if you can't make it, online. And I believe I have heard that if you have missed any of those, that the previous Wednesday evening sessions can be found online as well.
Mm-hmm.
On the website, YouTube, and Facebook. T-shirts. Ooh, get ready for some Jenkins T-shirts. Order forms and pictures will be coming soon.
Keep an eye out.
Any other announcements?
Jackie, I'd like to say about the list that we've got for items for the food closet. If you're not comfortable putting your name by something, which, you know, some people don't want others to know what they're doing, that's fair. Just put something so that we know somebody's bringing something.
Hey, I'm going to put my name on this.
Okay, so if you don't want to put your name down, put Michael's name down.
That's right.
Or just put something. The other reason for having a name there is for those of us who don't write it down, we can come back and want to, what did I sign up to bring? So put a code name if you want to. We don't really need to know who's bringing it. Just that someone is.
And then there's going to be something in the hall.
It's in the middle office, the center office. There's a white plastic basket to put things in.
Okay, so Julie says, if you do have items that you're donating for the food closet, there is a white plastic basket in the office, which is the middle office, between Jason and Jennifer. Any other announcements?
Real quick, I want to share just something if I can. Let me tell you why that food closet is so important. And Jackie, thank you for kicking that off, however long ago it was, and doing this. Thank you so much. This morning I got to the church and there was a car sitting out in the parking lot, an SUV, and as I tend to do if there's a strange car parking lot, the SUV in the car in the parking lot, I take a look and see whose it is. There was nobody in the front, but I saw stuff piled in the back and some blankets, but I didn't bother. As Suzanne came into church, she saw a gentleman walking in the parking lot who had just gotten out of the vehicle. And that's where he had slept last night. And thankfully, he came in our parking lot where he was safe, and it was good, and that was wonderful. So I went out and met him. Kalen was his name. He had been on the streets previously, but had gotten a car and was now at least had a car that he was able to live in. He didn't know where he was going for here. He was pretty sure he was either going to go buy a cheap guitar or go to the beach. Either one of them I encouraged. We invited him here, and he thought about coming in, but he said he might be gone by then. I asked if he was hungry, and that was the biggest reaction I got. He goes, "Yeah, I am." And so I was able to walk in. We had, help me, Julie, we had soups, we had crackers and peanut butter. I got some applesauce. There was ramen noodles. I don't know, oatmeal. I don't know what all was in that bag. But we had an emergency bag that we could just send with somebody because they were hungry. That's twice in the last 2 weeks that's happened. The last time a gentleman was walking to Florida. Cool, let me help you get there. Here's some food to get here. Yeah, gotta get a theme going, yeah. But he was walking to Florida. He said, "I'm going this way. Where do I need to go after that?" And I was like, "Well, when you get to 840, you make a left or a right, depending on where in Florida you want to go." And he decided that. But we also gave him some food, and he sat out in our yard and had a wonderful meal and then went on his way. That's hospitality. That's giving, that's caring for, that's making sure that somebody else recognizes they are valued as a human being, that their life matters to us. And in the relationship that Suzanne began with him, that I was able to have with him, and the offering of food and water, that means something to people, man. It means that you care for them, that they are important to you. So thank you for providing that service that we can give out of this church to be able to show people they matter to us. Because they do. They're God's creatures. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much.
Okay. Any other announcements? I just do want to add one announcement. It's the Buttercup Festival today. So
can you tell?
If you can avoid driving on Nolensville Road to get to the other side of Nolensville, I would highly suggest that. If you want to go to the Buttercup Festival, I don't know what time it starts. Do you? Noon?
I'm preaching 6 hours a day, so you don't have to deal with it. Don't worry about it.
Well, when we sneak out for a bathroom break and head out to our cars, the Buttercup Festival starts at noon. It's always a great time. If you're new to Nolensville, it's a great family fun event. There's kids items to do. There's lots of vendors. There's always lots of food. It's a great little item. It always seems to be on a really hot day. So be sure to put sunscreen on if you're going to go down there. But it's a great time. But if you are trying to get somewhere in a hurry, Nolensville Road will not be your answer. Okay, so now we have our call to worship. If you will please rise. When you are disturbed, do not sin. Ponder it on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord.
There are many who say, "Oh, that we might see some good. Let the light of your face shine on us, O Lord."
You have put gladness in my heart more than when their grain and wine abound.
I will both lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone are Lord.
Our prayer of invocation. Dear Lord, as we gather together on this beautiful Sunday morning, let us take time to reflect. We are a blessed group. We live in a country that gives us the freedom to worship without fear. We live in a safe and caring community. We have family and friends to help and support us as we also support and help one another. You are our rock, our hope, our joy. You are our comfort. There are many in the world that are dealing with the trauma of war and famine. These are unsettling times, but our faith is great. You are great. We do not know what the day may bring, but we ask you to be their rock, their comfort, as we all pray for peace. Amen.
Okay. Turn to 220 if you want to use your hymn book, and we're going to sing He Lives. And we want to be sure that everybody knows that He lives, so sing out. Scripture of assurance comes from 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is.
I am a lucky child. I have had amazing parents, amazing step-parents, amazing grandparents. Lucky, you know what I mean? Like, lucky. Not everybody's got that. And I happen to be one that had it in spades, so thank God. When I was younger, if you had told me that I would be like my mother, I would have told you, can I not? if I was going to be, told me I was going to be like my grandmother. Well, you sure? You know how you are when you're a kid. If you told me I was going to be like my dad, I didn't know him well because he passed when I was young. But the guys I fish with all knew him. And they go, man, you're just like your dad sometimes. Usually it's when I get my line all tangled up, but not always. As I've gotten older and I've known them for who they are and seen them, I'm like, thank God they were revealed and I could be like them. I gained some of those traits, some of those things, right? Do you know how good your Father is? Do you know how amazing your God is? If you don't, it is continually being revealed to us. And each time it's revealed, we see more and more not only about who God is, but about who we can be when we are like God. And that's why we're here, always searching, always trying to find out that little bit more, because it pulls us along in the life, or in this life of faith. It keeps dragging us along to be a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more like Him. And so as you're living your life, I hope what you're doing is looking for God, man. I hope you're searching God out, finding God, because every time we do, we're drawn a little bit closer to who God is. That is assurance. That is a blessing that we are growing all the time in the faith to be a little bit more like our Father. Let's sing to Him again.
More about Jesus could I know, more of His grace to others show, more of His saving fullness see, more of His love who died for me.
Continuing offerings to the church. It is duly noted how much you care, how much you tithe for. It is what allows us to keep doing the good that we do, church. And man, I ain't never seen a church our size do the good that this church does. So thank you for your continued ways of giving. To give, you can do so in a multitude of ways. We have the box in the back from the pandemic era. It still seems weird not passing the plate around. You can give online. There's a text to give option, I believe. So you can send a check here to the church. Any of our little ones, if you want to go with Miss Julie and whoever's going with Miss Julie, yeah, Marie, they fit in to have Jenkins Kids Church. So that'll be good. So thank you for your continued giving, and thank you for allowing the church to continue giving. Your tithes and your offerings, your gifts, and your volunteering here all allow us to do really cool things like take care of Kalen this morning. It felt good to know that he came to a church that would invite him in, that would care for him, give him food, whatever he needed to let him go on his way. Thank you for allowing that to happen. Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, thank you for our gifts. Thank you for what you have given us, not only in our time, in our talents, in our resources, but thank you for the moments that you give to us all day long. You give us these chances, these opportunities to always do your will, to give to your kingdom. And so thank you, God, for allowing us to do that. We know that this world is so much better when we share and share alike. And so thank you, God, that we do that. We ask then that you allow us to have something else in this next few moments. Allow us to have clear minds. Allow us to have thoughts that are of you. Allow us to have all the goodness that you would have us know so that we can pour into your gospel, learn what you would have us learn, and walk away people who have been changed yet again by your grace and your mercy. Thank you, God, for those gifts. And God's people said, amen. This morning I'll read from Luke 24, 36b through 48. Just if you ever wonder why sometimes there's a letter up there. Well, the way script, you know that, like, you know, when Luke was writing this, he didn't put the numbers in. That wasn't him. That was somebody, you know, long, long, long time later. And sometimes you have a really long a verse where it may have two or three sentences in it. If it has two, the second sentence is B, right? If it has three sentences, the third sentence is C. And so you might not want to have the whole verse. And so we're going to take the second half of the scripture, the second sentence of 36. That's why you see that sometimes, just as a help if you want to know. While they were talking about this, Jesus stood himself among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. You'd do the same thing. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" This is, of course, why, because ghosts can't eat, right? That's the whole point of this. "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses to these things." This is the word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Church, a church matter has come to my attention, and we have no choice but to deal with it this morning. It is our solemn duty to shed light on that which is found lurking in our dark church. It seems the worst thing that could happen has happened. We have let an unbeliever in our midst. And it goes from bad to worse, Melanie. It's bad to worse, my brother and sister. This unbeliever, with his lack of wisdom at hearing the good news shared with him, is so adept at concealing his unbelief that we have participated in the fraud. We are part of the problem, not the solution. It seems the good people of Jenkins have seen fit to elect this heretic as a leader of our people. You have given him authority, even as he proves no ears to hear, Oh, if some in our denomination knew what was going on at Jenkins, they might have something to do with this, for you voted unanimously. So today I come to put the house in order. It's time to wake up the dead and open the ears of those who will not hear. Today we resolve this church. I stand before you proclaiming that Elder Alex Slagle back there will not hear the wisdom of his pastor, his friend. I thought the one who would share the bountiful table with him. He's an unbeliever in the goodness I proclaim to him personally, and for that I am heartbroken. Church, I'm pained. I thought he would hear what I had to say, yet no, it is even as if I didn't speak. It's a travesty. I confronted him in my office. Did I not, Slagle? I confronted him in my office. Allow me to share with you what I know. Elder Alex, and it's hard for me to hear that title on him anymore, let me assure you. A man that we thought was beyond his years in wisdom, that man sat in my office and told me what he did not do. Proof he is not convicted of the goodness that I have shared with him. See, Elder Alex makes the drive to Atlanta quite often. He's been at least twice that I know of recently, because I keep track of you people. I'm your shepherd, you're the sheep. I know where you are. He said, oh Lord. On his first trip, I gave him particular advice. I told him there's a place he must go. It must not be avoided. It's as close to required as can be. It's called Fat Match Rib Shack. They have, hands down, the best ribs on God's green earth. Right there, in fact. I didn't do that picture. I know this because Suzanne and I have had their ribs. You know I only eat fish, right? You're probably going, he doesn't know anything about barbecue. Yes, I do. I used to eat a bunch of them, and y'all, Suzanne's from Memphis. Chick knows barbecue. She makes her own, is it Labor Day? Yeah, every Labor Day though, right? Makes ribs. They're probably better than you've ever had. Don't think they're not. I break my fast every time because they're so good. In my humble opinion, as a purveyor of the good news, the only rib that beat hers, and they barely beat yours, Suzanne, just barely, I promise. The only ribs that are better are Fat Matt's Rib Shack, Atlanta, Georgia. You ain't never had ribs like these. Don't act like you have. So I told Elder Alex about them the first time he went. But he came back and he told me he did not fulfill his calling. People don't ever listen to me. So he went to Atlanta again for the second time last week for his birthday. I was going to give him a present. I'll tell him again. Not the first time, the second time he goes. This time he went again. I preached the gospel to him again. I said, dude, I'm telling you, you're missing out if you don't eat at Fat Matt's. Yet when he returned, he was here for Wednesday night for Bible study, which, by the way, had five people in it. I prepared more hours than that, just saying out loud what I'm thinking. But anyway, he was here, and you know what he told me? He told me once again that he did not find it in him to do what I told him was the right thing to do. That's twice now, church. Twice, family of God, twice, Elder Alex Label, one who is full of wisdom, a man of discernment, sagacity, and insight, this elder has returned to the fold empty of faith in his pastor. Truth is, he doesn't believe, church. He doesn't believe I'm sharing the truth. He's telling all barbecue truths. For if he did believe, he would have grace that righteousness. Mind has not been opened, nor has he been a witness to these barbecue things. Y'all did vomit faith earlier. What's wrong? How do y'all not know him? He's a great Christian dude. Why would you think that about how I was saying that about him? No. I'm ashamed.
Susan, good.
Atlanta. Alex would tell you, but he hasn't gone. Suzanne and I went to Fat Matt's the first time to listen to a guy who we'd heard before in a club, little club on Bill Street. We heard some nasty blues coming out of some little club. It stopped me dead in my tracks. I turned around, walked inside, and what we found was a little 16-year-old kid sitting on the edge of the stage that's whiter than I am. His name was Sean Costello. He passed away a few years ago, sadly. Rest in peace. But around 2000, the internet was a really big deal, finally, and we searched for his name. We were in Chattanooga back then, and we saw that he was at place called Fat Matt's Rib Shack. And so the spirit immediately awoke a longing in Suzanne and I. And so we grabbed some friends and off we went on a Monday night. Come to find out, Fat Matt's is also the home of the Atlanta Blues Society, which Alex would know if he listened to his pastor. They have a big mural on the wall of the greats of the blues, and anybody who wants to play there tries to do them justice. And so after our first trip, we started sharing the good news with more friends and more friends, and each Monday night we'd load up our Explorer, pile believers up in the back, strap the faithful on top of the hood, and make the pilgrimage to Fat Matt's. It became a movement. We needed two cars one time. We had so many. John and Steve and Suzanne's boys, they had their birthdays there a couple of times, if I remember right. They were like third and fourth grade, and that's what they wanted to do because we raise our kids, right? What did Alex do? Over time, 100 years ago, I had to work one time and meet a boss in Atlanta, and his name was Dave, and I took him to Fat Matt's, and he embarrassed me because after the meal, he just started drinking the sauce. It was ridiculous, and it looked like he'd been baptized in barbecue sauce when we were done. So a few months later, I called to a help desk for our company down in St. Pete, Florida, and we were making a small talk while we were working on whatever. They were looking something up, and they said, "Hey, where are you today?" And I said, "Atlanta." And they were like, "Oh, man, Dave Kaiser was telling me about this barbecue place he found in Atlanta, Georgia. He said it was better than anything he'd ever known." And I said, "Dave Kaiser did not find that place. Jason Michael found that place, and I showed David Kaiser because I know the good news." I was happy the movement had spread. Who knows who all has witnessed those ribs, who all has heard the good news, because they had the opportunity to hear it and they went. Except for one. No wonder he sits in the back. All of y'all are implicated in the back by him sitting back there with y'all, by the way. I asked permission before this. Don't think I didn't. Allow me to collect my thoughts for a moment so that I might become more humble. The truth is that I understand why Alex didn't go to Fat Matt's, despite my evangelical nature. Though I'm sure many of you are mortified at his refusal to take my pastoral advice, no doubt, I do not support removing him from leadership due to his unbelief. My judgment would negate another truth, which is this: we're all unbelievers in something. Everybody's told us about something and we've not done it. We know somebody suggested we come go commune with the barbecue sauce, and yet we haven't found the time or the inclination to go do that thing. We are unbelievers ourselves, all of us, in something. We know it takes experiencing something to be a true believer. And so we know we have to take chances to know something new. We have to take a chance and do something different to have our minds blown so that we can be a witness to these things. So do I blame Elder Alex? No, he was on a schedule, man. It's difficult to do these things. We have to take a chance. We have to touch the hands and feet of Christ. We have to see him eating the boiled fish. We have to do something to experience those things that will change us so drastically. We can't just hear the good news to know about it. We have to live it sometimes. And only then can we see the true glory of Christ. He too would have seen the glory of Christ. Wait, what was I talking about? Something about barbecue, I don't know. Let's get off of that. Life sure would be easier if we could know things without having to know them. You know what I mean? Wouldn't life be so much easier if we could hear somebody talking about something and then know that thing as well as we know it when we know it because we've known it personally? Wouldn't it be great if experience wasn't necessary for knowing something? It's like this. I took 3 years of Spanish in high school. It did not matter. I don't know a lick of Spanish. How many Spanish-speaking people exactly do you think were in Somerset, Kentucky in 1988? You know? I couldn't learn it because I couldn't experience it other than just learning the words in a classroom. You have to experience language to learn it. You have to live in some way that you can commit to it by heart. You can't just be told things and that be enough. You have to commit to it. You have to allow your mind to be open to it and hear things in a brand new way. But if you do that, you end up like our friend Emery. You know Emery, many of you do. She went to Mexico with a very rudimentary understanding of Spanish. She came away fluent because she lived in homes in Mexico for months and months where it was nothing but Spanish all day long, every day. She experienced it, and you know how passionate she is about her time there. It's because she experienced something in that moment, and she brought it away. We can hear about things all day long, but to know a truth, to know an essence of something, to truly know something deeply, we have to experience it with every ounce of our being. It has to be visceral. We truly do have to drink the sauce, man. It has to touch us at our core in some manner and in some way that may start with somebody telling us about something. It may absolutely start that way, but until it strikes us at our core because we've experienced it, because we've been a part of it, we will never, ever be passionate about it. We know this. Who was talking about? You were speaking of a sunset earlier. I use sunset, but we're going to go with sunrise now. Carlene was talking about this earlier. I can tell you about a sunrise. I can tell you, I can write you a poem about it. I can. We could. I can sing a song about it. I'm not. I can share it with you. I can tell you everything about it, but I cannot share the moment with you. Every single parent in here knows this. A parent can tell a child all day long that we love you. And they'll say, we love you back. But a child can't know the love that a parent knows. You can't know it till you are one. I can tell Alex Slagle all day long about barbecue ribs that will give him a religious experience. But until that unbeliever goes, well, he's happy I enjoyed them. No doubt he's happy that I enjoyed them. He doesn't know. Church, I'm just saying, it's not enough for us to hear that the tomb is empty. It's not enough. We have to go and we have to experience the risen Lord. The disciples and Mary, all of them had to experience it. The story would have not been complete if the tomb was empty and nobody knew why. That's not the story. He said, sit down and eat with me, man. Touch my side, my feet, my hands, and know that I have risen and I have risen indeed. You've got to experience the Lord to know the Lord. It's a shame Jesus doesn't go to Fat Maps. I think those were beef ribs, weren't they? Regardless, the Chicken Shack is next door if they were pork, so it doesn't matter. If Jesus had gone, it would have been fantastic. Wouldn't it be nice today for us to just be able to sit down and have a meal with our Messiah? To hear the stories, man, can you imagine? To see the pierced hands and to see the feet and know that he's alive. People are always like, you can have dinner with anybody in history that you would want. And everybody's got a debate. No. There's one answer. I want to sit down with Christ. Even non-believers, man, who else is there like pre-Christ and post-Christ? This is the one we want to talk to. That would be awesome. Because then it's visceral. It would be that real experience of sitting with Jesus and knowing him. I mean, I've had some religious experiences, y'all, but can you imagine for just a moment that meal? The stories of where the disciples went, whether they're myth or true, doesn't matter. They show that they did not give up sharing the gospel until they were all eventually killed for it. That is not a great way to sell the faith, by the way. Hey, the original 12, they all died. That's not a great way to go about it. But it tells you how powerful that experience must have been. And they didn't get it just because somebody told them about it. That's not what they got. They experienced the risen Lord. The good news, of course, for us is that, yeah, Jesus is no longer here. But that doesn't mean God's presence has left. Amen. Well, you got to get warmed up. Pentecost is coming in a few weeks. We'll hold that day as a festival for the coming of the Holy Spirit, the promise of God's Spirit coursing through this world unabated by evil, which means that we can still experience that risen Jesus just as the 12 did. We're not off the hook for experiencing God. We're not off the hook for that. We still get to experience God. We just have to be very intentional about it. We have to make sure that we go to Atlanta, that we're making the trip to Fat Matt's or whatever place that Jesus is in the moment. It's up to us to make sure that we are the ones that we pursue the Lord. Look at the top of your bulletin. You see it? It's right there in our mission statement. It's right there in our mission statement that we must pursue God's will. It's up to us to make sure that we pursue the Lord. We must pursue it. We must make ourselves available to be in the presence of God. We must, or we're just talking about a God when the experiences are what matter. I got a few ways that I want to share real quick about how we can do that. It is not an exhaustive list. You may have others that you want to add to the list, but there are ways that we can know God. And while we all may want to add to it, it's just good to have some reminders. It's important for us not to leave this to chance. So, here's the first one. There's only three. This may be the only time I ever have a three-point sermon, by the way. So, we must be in prayer. We must be. Or in meditation. Or in some way of an intentionally opening ourselves up to the presence of the Creator. I don't know what that looks like in your life. This is a hard one for me personally. I've got a soothing way with a long-winded prayer. I get it. I pray in public often. And pray for my own people at home all the time. And I mean it when I do, no doubt. But sometimes I forget to pray or I neglect to pray to just open myself up for God to go to work on me. Sometimes I don't give that prayer. Sometimes I forget to find the quiet moments where I can hear God rather than the static of the world. Sometimes I neglect to look for the feet and the hands and don't allow it to be an experience of being in conversation with God. How can I change? How can I walk closer? How can I be remade closer into the image of the one that made me if I can't take time to just sit in the presence of God? We must pray. We must be silent. We must meditate. If we don't, we ain't going to Fat Matt's either. We might still get to heaven. But I'd rather be changed in all that I am before I get there, rather than learning I could have done so much more while I was here. If I had just experienced the stillness in the presence of God while I took a moment. You've got to sit with your God and you've got to do it in prayer. The second thing is, we must read the Scriptures. There's a theory that I believe is 100% true. It's called the unity of Word and Spirit. The unity of Word and Spirit, if you want to look it up. The theory goes something like this. It's been a while since I've been in seminary, but it goes something like this. We believe that the Spirit is involved in the writing of the Scripture. Amen? That doesn't really mean that we believe that God wrote the Scripture. I don't believe personally, you can believe what you choose, I don't believe personally that every word of Scripture is a truth of God in and of itself. There are some bad things in Scripture that I do not follow. But I do believe that all of it is breathed out by a Spirit-led humanity that in an effort to understand God and our role in God's kingdom. And if the Spirit is involved and is inspired, it is the Spirit-inspired Word, and we must know it to its core. The theory goes on to say, then, that if the Spirit is involved in the writing of the Scriptures, then the same Spirit can be counted on as we read the Scriptures. In other words, you want to be close to God? If that's your goal, go into Scripture with an open mind and a desire to know God, and the Spirit will be there to change you to your core. The Bible is a theology book. Here, it ain't a history book, it's not a science book. It's a theology book. Theo means God. Ology is the words about, right? Theology. And theology are the words used to describe God. And we say that as we read it, the Spirit of God opens up to us new ways of being, new ways of understanding, changed by the very experience of knowing God through the Scriptures that we read. We live in a time when there is more known about the Bible than ever before. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls. We have this. We have that. We live in a time when there's more known about the Bible than ever before, but it's read less by Christ's followers than it ever has been. Might we attribute the fall of our religion not on those outside infidels, but instead on our own choice not to read the menu at Fat Max? They don't serve tofu there. But you might order if you don't know better. How can we know God if we don't know God's word? We must read the scriptures. For if we don't, we can make God into whoever we choose. And that's making an idol. Third one, we have to be in community. That's the third thing I'm going to say, and then you can add your own. Being in a community means a lot of things, but I'm going to boil it down today sort of to this. It means being part of the group, part of all humanity, rather than just being an individual in humanity. That's what it means to be in community. That isn't easy in our 21st century, because in our 21st century, the individual is everything. That's not a community. I'll give an example. There's an ethical question that's asked sometimes that goes like this. If there's something good for the majority, does that mean it's good for the community at whole? Our world today often says yes. If it's good for the 75%, that means it's good for the whole, because 75 is bigger than 25, or at least that's what they taught me. Jesus wouldn't agree necessarily. I'm speaking for Jesus now. I get it. I'm putting words in his mouth, but I'll risk it this morning. The widow, the minority, the orphans, the sick, the imprisoned, the stranger, the hungry, the thirsty, the on and the on and the on and the on of those that Jesus spoke about, those were all the minority who were often dismissed. We should not allow that to surprise us. It's all in the menu. If you read it, it comes on every single dish served. So if we do what is right for the majority always, the rest struggle. And that ain't a Jesus thing, man. That's why Jesus said, you got to side with the least of these. And to do these things that Jesus said do. We're not supposed to just have good thoughts about people who are marginalized. It's not supposed to just warm our soul that people are helping people who are marginalized. We are supposed to side with the people who are marginalized. Good thoughts mean nothing. Doing things means something. And doing those things puts us into an experience with Christ. Living in this community puts us into a relationship with Christ. Allow me to prove that one. That's Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats. That's what it says. And it says it in a lot of other places too. If you go read it, it says, when you gave me water, you gave Christ water. If we don't do those things, that means we don't experience Christ. And if we don't experience Christ, how deep a believer can we be? How deep can we dive if we don't have those experiences? What we do in the community of creation that God made affects how we see the people of the community that God made. Let me say it again so you heard it. What we do in the community of creation affects how we see the people of creation. If we help, we'll be inclined to again help because we see people as good and worthy of help. Just like you do, just like y'all smiled all those times when I said we helped the gentleman outside. When we help once, we know to help again because we know what people look like. If we have apathy instead, if we have outright dismissal instead, then that's exactly what we'll do next time because our experiences do matter. We'll just think they're not worth helping next time either. So which one would you prefer, to experience Jesus or not? To eat with him or to not take his time, not take the time? One of those requires a side trip over to Fat Max, which might just be out of the way. Or it might not even be what you want to eat that day. But if we come to such a temptation to not experience Christ and just talk about him instead, does that mean we don't want Christ as much as we say we do? And that we is me too. I'm not pointing any fingers. Community is how we also live with one another in this room. Gosh, this room is amazing. In this room, we are a community of Christ because we do pick each other up around here. We serve each other. We read scripture and we study it with each other. Wednesday night, 6 p.m., Lord of God. We worship with each other. We pray with each other. We bring meals to one another, and it's beautiful. We bring a good word or a card or a phone call or a text or a gift basket or anything else that lets somebody else know we love you, we care about you, and you matter to us. We are God's children who happen, by the grace of God and some miracle, to be with one another here in the same place and the same time. We experience Christ as we reflect Christ into the world together. This group does, and I thank God for it. We are the body of Christ, and we need us all, or we are not complete. Look at how we live with each other is a goal of the gospel. How we exist with one another is a goal of the gospel. Yes, it is to know God. That is part of the faith, and that is an important part of the faith. It is a key to the faith. But if we know God deeply, experiencing God, then we know that when Jesus called to us, he called us to love one another, and that was a radical call to a very different kind of community. It's God's intention that we live like this forever in heaven. That's what God wants us to do, is live together in unity forevermore. And how would we not, when we get to heaven, we'll be in the presence of the Lord. So if we are in the presence now, it changes now how we live eternally. You can add whatever you want to these lists. It's probably a very good add if you add it. And we could add forever, I guess. But the point I make is this. The faith we have is not something we decide on. It's not something we own. It's not something we clutch so that we can't give it away. It's not something we box up and put under the bed for safekeeping. It's not appropriate for a safety deposit box. Faith is an experience. It is an experience that shapes us and by what we allow in and by where we visit. So if you don't want the best ribs ever in your whole life, Elder, then don't go to Fat Mac's. But if we want Jesus as much as we always say we do, and if we believe that others can only experience Jesus when Jesus is lived out, then we've got some decisions to make in our lives, man. They are a joyous decision, don't get me wrong. They should be what we long for. They are the decisions that we make when we decide that we want nothing more in our life, nothing more than to simply sit with our Savior, have a meal, read the Word, sit in silence of God's majesty, have our minds blown by what God will show us when we dare take that long, careful, wonderful look. He opened their minds to the Scriptures that day, it says. He opened their minds to the Scriptures that day, it says. I pray God opens ours more and more every day. But we must do our part to experience the resurrected Messiah. Then and only then will we truly be a witness to these things. And God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Our last song this morning we'll sing together is not that. Thou art worthy. It's number 73. Would you please stand?
Thank you.
seated. Also, are you brave enough to admit it? I've told somebody else in this church about that place and you didn't go either. Who was it? I'll pick you on you next time. See, ain't nobody going to admit it. I love it. A few prayers as we go through our end of service here. First one is from our beloved friend Brenda. She had a biopsy this past Monday. Dermatologist does think it's cancerous. She says she's believing it is not, and I agree. I was supposed to hear for the biopsy this week. Prayers, please pray and believe with me for the good report. From our friend Carlene, several prayer concerns for Danny and Helen. Danny has Alzheimer's and now has a potential cancer concern following a collapsed lung, so prayers for them. Jude Howell, this is from Mom. Jude Howell is an 18-month-old baby in a hospital for well over a week with a bunch of infections and complications. Prayers for him, his family, and the medical professionals. And from Gary, our brother's having a blurred vision in his left eye, hopefully from a recently med change, but got an appointment Monday to ensure nothing serious. And then also, I got a note, my lapel mic's not working, so please pray for my lapel mic, it seems. Are there other prayers that we need to have this morning? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Johnny, somebody asked me this morning, I got to get a tissue while I'm sweating like crazy. Someone mentioned this morning, I asked what's going on with Johnny, and I was like, that's the problem, several things. He's had a run of it for like 6 months now, it seems like. Right now, dealing with gout, but hopefully be returning to us very soon. Yeah, and they read it before, so. But please be in prayer for Johnny. Yes, ma'am. Lauren's getting around much better, gaining strength all the time, and that's wonderful, and I'm sure Nancy appreciates those prayers, because she was very worried, obviously. So, yeah, wonderful for Lauren and continued prayers. Yeah.
Mom is doing well, just the food here is slow, so just pray
for her food. Her food,
she realizes she can't do what she used to,
but
she can get back to
semi-home. Prayers for Carol, prayers for your mom, yeah. Yes, Suzanne. Y'all just pray for Suzanne in general right now, man.
And also Vicky and Ty.
Yeah. Continue prayers for Vicky and Ty. Yeah, Suzanne thought she had some kidney stones, and they got the report back and said, nope, you don't have kidney stones. And she was like, well, what is it? But they didn't answer that part. So I'm going to follow up and see what's going on there. But, yeah, and not many weeks left in the wrist either, so we're getting there. Yes, ma'am.
I want to give you an update on Carl's son. Found out that he had a scan last week and the tumor is shrinking.
Yeah.
So keep the prayers up.
Yeah.
It's good news. So.
Tell me his name.
Wade.
Wade. W-A-D-E, right? Wade?
Yep.
Wonderful. The others this morning. Yes, ma'am.
My little friend, 18-month-old, Etta, Juliet, is home, and it's been a good week, and they've determined that she has open heart surgery to remove a clot. It's not her heart that is the problem. It is a blood clotting disorder, apparently, or a blood disorder or something. So just prayers of, they're so thankful for what's happened so far. So they feel the prayers and, looking for a solution, but making progress. So just keep the prayers coming for these babies.
Continued prayers for Juliet, who is home, but going to be facing some open heart surgery. So, yeah.
Had a first week of being settled in home, so that's good.
Be in prayer for Juliet. Are there others this morning? Good to see y'all here today, man. Good to see you. Good to see you. Anybody else? Let's go to God in prayer. Gracious and loving God, we come to you in prayer each week because it is an experience. There is a a blessing, a feeling of connection when we turn our lives and the lives of others over to your care, knowing that you very well may call on us to do something about it. And so we thank you, God, that we do have these times in our worship service where we have experiences with you, and that we can take those elsewhere and continue those experiences by continuing to pray for this group, continuing to advocate for those who are in such difficult situations. So thank you, God, for allowing this time for us to connect to you. But it's not about us. It's about you. It's about our friends and our family who we turn over to you because we do feel so helpless. As we watch you work, Lord, as we see you do things, as we see you call us into action, even in those worst situations where our prayers as we ask them aren't answered, we still so often can find you somehow in the midst of the chaos. And so we thank you, God, that that's the case. We thank you that each of these can know your love, they can know your grace, they can know your mercy, and they can know your healing. We thank you, God, for that. And we thank you that we know it through our prayers to you. We thank you, God, that we can be in relationship with you and with others, for it truly does change us all. We pray it all through your prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please rise for the benediction? Church, go in love, go in joy, go in peace, go grace, go in mercy, and go have experiences with this Lord. And Lord, release us from this place, but never from you. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.
Good one.